Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You know, it's still the wild frontier, and that's why, you know, the dickish insurance companies are
Are you still with dickish insurance?
Dickish insurance.
Yes.
Yeah. Blue balls. Blue balls, blue shield.
Isn't it?
And if they don't need it for the casket, you can put six family members in it.
Are there seats back there?
No!
Oh.
No,
I'm an
no.
Idiot.
It's just, you know.
The seats fold out?
It folds up. Cromwell.
Thank you.
James Cromwell.
What I didn't realize.
How about that for the 63-year-old,
you know,
soon to be 64?
You're a better man than I am. I should have had.
Well, you did go to school with him.
That is hilarious.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Well, it's America's favorite podcast because it has elements. Elements like this. This wonderful little theme song we play every day. We play sound. We talk like disc jockeys.
We speak.
Clearly. You don't get that everywhere.
There are words.
It's the land of too cool for school.
That's right.
But, you know, I was watching Howie Long, who would be an interesting guy to talk to, and I was watching him on another podcast, sports, a couple of sports guys. One of them's got sunglasses. The other guy looks like the kind of guy that I used to want to throw a drink in his face at the bar. You know, just perfectly nice lad, but too cool, just the cool.
Very cool.
And it's just like, I got the impression for Howie, who's a little long in the tooth now. Howie's an older guy.
So to speak.
That, you know, they're too cool. They're trying to be too. And I'm glad. I said to myself, you know, I'm really, really glad that I'm not that way. I'm really glad.
Were you ever that way?
Never.
Never too cool for school?
I would be guilty of being too exuberant when we'd get somebody on the show that would be exciting.
Right.
I would be too exuberant, and I don't regret it because I don't care.
Overall in life, have you ever been a too cool for school guy?
Never.
Okay.
No, not possible. Not in my DNA. Never could be. Tried. Oh God, did I try? I tried so hard. I tried so hard to be that guy.
What were the methods you employed to try?
If we want to do psychotherapy 101 to start the show today, I don't mind that. Because I'm thinking about Maine as we get closer to making our three-week pilgrimage up north.
Right.
I would come back from Maine, where I was the baby of the family and psychologically, not tortured, not abused, psychologically worn down a little bit, where I'd be made to be the little guy. And you know what it's like being the littlest in the family, right, Oscar? You're the baby. You know, you get to feel like, well, I didn't mean to do that. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And then because I'd been through that, I would come back from Maine and I'd say, well, I've been through everything. Nothing they can throw at me. And then the first day of school, I'd be back to being the Nimrod that I always was in school. And then I would realize that it just didn't exist. It did not exist. And all the success in the world, even when I go out to any place that, like one of our conclaves, doing a live show or something like that, I'm still, in my mind, not even close to being the cool guy. I'm not. I can be the loud guy. Mm-hmm. I can be the gregarious guy. I can be the bigger-than-life guy. Oh, that's easy. But the cool guy, the cool guys are so rare in pop culture. Cool guys are a classic example of famous cool. One of the greatest, he's no longer with us, God rest his soul, Paul Newman.
Very cool.
As cool as cool can be. Still, go back, watch Paul Newman, even next to a guy that really tried a little too hard to be cool, Robert Redford, and Paul Newman is the cooler guy.
You're right.
Because Paul Newman effortlessly is cool. He just couldn't help it. He couldn't help but be cool. Another great example of cool people. I'm trying to think because I want to get one from each.
Cool hand loop.
Barack Obama.
Very cool.
There's nothing that made him, you know, not be cool. He was cool.
Can we? I mean, these are obvious examples, I believe.
Yes,
what about in broadcasting?
Broadcasting cool people?
Yeah.
That's a tall order.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
no, harder to find. But Johnny Carson would have been cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Johnny Carson, of all the television
talk show
hosts.
Peter Jennings.
Peter Jennings, pretty cool.
Newsmen have to be cool.
No, because Tom Brokaw's not cool somehow.
I don't think so.
Anchormen could be cool. The late Jim Vance in Washington,
very cool.
D.C.
Yes. Very cool.
Was cool. Was a cool guy.
Donnie Simpson.
Not cool.
Cool.
Donnie Simpson.
Yes.
Bingo. The cool broadcaster.
Yes.
Now I'm trying to think of sports figures that are like really cool. Tom Brady's not cool. He's dirty. No. He's a little dorky, actually, when you get right down. He's the GOAT. He's a phenomenal athlete. But as far as real cool, we lost one recently. The coolest of the cool. The coolest athlete ever in the history of the NFL. Jim Brown.
Yes.
Yeah. Jim Brown, so cool that because I watched, I think it's The Dirty Dozen.
Yeah, it was on this weekend. Yeah.
Jim Brown over the weekend. And I watched him, and there's a scene where The Dirty Dozen is out in the prison yard or doing whatever they're doing. And Jim Brown is leaning up against a wall.
Mm.
They're all doing different things. And he jumps off the screen because he's just cool.
He has it.
Yes,
he has it.
Arch Campbell.
Thank you. See, a cool guy wouldn't laugh loud like that, but I do because I go, ah.
Arch would laugh like that.
Oh, my God. You're ridiculous. I don't know how we got on that.
Is it a commodity that you can earn, or you have to be born with it?
You got to be born with it. You know, absolutely, I can
totally agree and line up with you as far as being cool. I've never, ever been cool, but I can be loud. I can be gregarious. I can be the center of attention, but never cool. Oscar, were you ever cool?
Hey, Pony, what happened to their camera with me? They got blurry all of a sudden.
Oh, no, that's not cool. Let me make it better.
Do you see that?
Hang on one sec.
Feel like... Ooh. Why, I had a little bit too much to drink. Okay.
There we go.
What were you saying to Oscar?
I was wondering if Oscar had ever been cool.
No. No.
I would say of all of us,
I've been too into things that were happening on air.
His level of enthusiasm.
Yeah. Like, I like
his level of lust for pop culture.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been there. No, I've never felt like I've actually been so, to a point, over the top. Asking people about their lives, like, tell me about being wealthy at one point in your life, Mike. Tell me more about what it feels like.
That's true. That is one of your go-tos.
Yes, yeah.
Money lost. Money lost is... anyway.
I would say that of the three of us, I'd say Oscar's probably the coolest, though. Would you?
It's not a high bar, though.
It's not a high bar.
You know who was cool? You know, probably the wrong shtick for this generation.
Surf was cool.
Yes.
Surf
remains cool.
Yeah, but, surf is kind of cool.
But Tom Likas.
What?
I didn't know Tom Likas wasn't he kind of... I never listened to him, so I don't know him well enough.
Sunglasses in studio at all times.
Okay.
Had the confidence of just like 10 men that he would walk in, and he was just not like really your Hollywood leading man, but he walked in with this aura of like, he gives zero F's and he executes at a high level, and this is why he's successful.
Howard Stern, who is the most successful person in the business, still has that level of, I'm a fan, and that's what makes his interviews work, in my humble opinion. He still has that. And by the way, listen to some, I don't know how I came across it, some old Stern. Oh, when he was so angry and so mean, and I hated it. And it reminded me why I was so just not into that whole thing. And now I watched him interviewing Bill Hader and Seth Meyers and Fred Armisen. And it was just this really, he was just cool enough to be to do a
not even Fred Ormisen could ruin that.
You're not a fan. What are you doing? But bite your tongue. What's your problem,
Fred Ormisen? I thought you didn't like Fred Ormisen.
No, he's evolved into say. I like Fred Ormisen better now than I used to. Which I say for a lot of people on Saturday Night Live.
But I adore Bill Hader. I think that's he's fantastic.
You're not a Fred person? Or?
Not so much. I don't think he's ever ruined anything. But I don't think he's a real. He's not like a Kyle Mooney. But he doesn't bring a lot to the table, I don't think.
People don't even know who Kyle Mooney is.
Bro. That's because he's gone.
He died?
No, he's just off the show. Thank you, Lauren.
Got it.
But I like Seth and I like Bill Hader a lot.
The thing about Cool is that when people are trying to be something they're not, it's very sad. And it's very sad. So I think the point I try to make when I open this show is that, you know, being like DJ-ish and being loud and having all these little bells and whistles that we use as crutches, it's who we are. And I feel especially thank you for covering me on the bonus show last week. Weird week with me with the cable and all the stuff that went sideways.
When did your internet finally come back? It was like 2 days.
Yeah. No. It was later okay. That night.
Got it.
You should call and ask for a credit.
Sure. But getting back to...
they'll give it to you.
Okay, thanks. Now I'm losing my train of thought. All right? Yeah, I don't want... What?
No, we come back and we're DJs and we're loud and we have all of our elements and we're not ashamed of it.
So it gets me onto the segue, which was being what they're not. By the way, if you're not a fan of Succession, you're not going to enjoy this next segment we're going to have. If you are a fan of Succession and you haven't watched the finale yet, turn it off right now because we're going to have some spoilers because we're going to talk about it because we're all fans. And Oscar even sent out a text last night reminding us to check it out so we could talk about it. And I think for the purposes of this discussion, it's probably or the purposes of my own ego, we should probably recap a discussion that we all had leading up to the finale of the television series Succession, the HBO series that was one of the best things on TV in quite some time. And when you all have one of those shows that everybody can gather around and love, it's special. And I thank you two for getting me involved with that show a little later in the
Oscar
the
more than me. It's Oscar's credit.
I wanted you to do Brian Cox, which you did so well.
Yes.
Four on the floor. There you go. And now I'm doing direct TV ads. Now F off. So we had a discussion as they were winding down with the series, the last episode being Sunday night, that who was going to be the big winner because we were trying to see who was going to take over the Empire.
Right.
And was it going to be, which one of the three kids was it going to be? Or was it going to be the evil Skarsgård guy?
You right.
Know, Mattson, playing Mattson. Who was going to do it? And a lone voice in the wilderness said, I'll tell you who I think it's going to be.
It almost calls for echo, Mike, for the lone voice.
Well, I have to turn that off. a lone voice from the wilderness.
Yes. What did it cry out?
Hold on a second.
Oscar, there was a lone voice.
There
almost
was
from
lone,
a distance.
A lone wolf.
From a distance.
It said, hi. I think it's going to be Tom, Shiv's husband, that will take over the world. And I have to say that I was summarily mocked by my cohort.
Yes.
I was mocked. I think Oscar might
say,
I yelled at you. No.
It wasn't the bloodline.
That's right.
No. And there it was. Yeah.
Who did you choose, Rob?
I said they would leave it unresolved to piss us off. That's what I thought they were going to do.
That's right. I chose Gregory, which I thought was going to swerve in that manner when he had.
But they're going to take care of him.
Involved.
They're going to take care of him.
But when he got involved, I was like, these jerks. I knew this was going to happen.
What about him with Google Translate on his phone?
Brilliant.
So great.
Made the difference. A brilliant, brilliant finale. They're not always that great.
No.
They're always. And it wasn't too overhyped.
No, it was satisfactory. Yeah.
Very satisfying. Not happy. Not happy by any stretch of the imagination, but boy, oh boy, satisfying. And in a way, just because I think one of the things I said when you saw Tom get the golden ticket at the end of the episode, he was kind of the worker bee. He did take the significant amount of S, and but more importantly, he was always there, and he was always grinding, and he was humble enough to kind of suck up to the right people. And at the end of that, remember, he was the one that was going to go to jail for right. Logan Roy.
Yeah.
You know, he was going to do that. And meanwhile, all the other, the kids were not only incompetent, but they were so filled with hubris that they just, they couldn't pull it together.
Yeah. You know what I just realized? That I never put together in the past? That they never worked. They pretended to work.
They never did anything but deal
making. They would come in like in the early seasons and pretend right. to do things. Like yep. they would be, the father would set him up with orders.
Yeah.
And they would go in and acquire a company, harvest ideas, and then they were done working for some time.
They'd schmooze.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
Tom was in there.
Tom had to do the work.
He had to do the work. Mm-hmm. He was managing the network and making the tough calls on election night.
During the effing funeral, he's the only one that stayed back and worked.
Worked. Nose to the grindstone while Roman was up on the
weeping
on the altar. Brilliant. Played so beautifully.
I hope he gets the Emmy for it. I hope he does.
Now, here's a question for both of you that love the show as much as I do. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that he will, that they will? I mean, I know they said that this was the series finale. Don't you think they could reprise this in some way? I think they could. Or do you not do that? Do you just walk away?
I think you leave it be.
I think the way, and for those of you that are fans, you've watched it by now. In this day and age of spoilers, I don't know how you can't watch it.
True.
By now. Like I was an hour late and DVR'd it and I just wasn't looking at my phone.
You can't.
I didn't want to know. I didn't want anybody to post about it. I didn't want to see an errant tweet. I was like full media blackout until we got home from my mom's house. Sure. And I said, Shannon, I got to start watching this now. Someone's going to blow it up for me in 2 seconds.
Your mom didn't tell you about it?
No, my mom doesn't have HBO because she's cheap. So we left. So,
you know, it's a great show when my son comes. I'm like, not now,
not now. Yeah. Later.
I mean, they just don't have that many of them. We're on to Mrs. O'Mara and I will be diving into a series tonight about a little person who posed as a tiny daughter. It's a docuseries.
Oh, I saw that. We're promoting it on a Discovery.
Something about Rachel or something like that.
Did you see the promo with the, I guess, the dad losing his mind and beating the floor?
I don't know.
Oh, yes. You're in for a treat. You've watched some of this?
No,
I've watched the promo over and over again yesterday.
Debuted last night, I believe.
Back to Succession.
Yes.
A couple observations on my end. One is, it was interesting how the hate for Kendall Roy was so like underscored and played out so beautifully at the end at the board meeting vote, where Shiv realized at the end when she was the final vote that she could not stand or bear the fact that this spoiled brat would inherit this kingdom that her father built. And she had a choice.
That was part of it.
Yeah, but she had a choice in a selfish manner to say, if at least my husband, mm-hmm. who was the heir apparent king, that's the only way she could stay close to power by, for the first time, eating an S sandwich from the peasant boy she married.
Right.
Yeah, and he's the guest. So they're very Shakespearean.
It was really so wonderful when she had to hold his hand in the limo at the end.
Oh, there were articles written about it.
How great.
They crafted it. So really, kudos to the, you know, written dramas that still can be fun with just a very interesting style of acting that I haven't seen a lot, which is...
And camera work, too. I mean...
Beautifully done.
Wonderfully shot.
I've been listening to the podcast that comes, like the companion podcast for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And for the penultimate episode, who's the actor who plays the brother? Let me look that up. I have it here on IMDb.
Not Culkin.
No, the brother, the the Cox's brother, like the brother, like the brother that spoke at the funeral.
Oh, the Babe Pig in the City.
Yeah,
is the Babe Pig in the City guy. Is it
James?
Isn't that
something?
Horrible? When yes. His name was 15 years ago. His name was.
Yeah, it's James. I think it's James something. James.
I'm pulling it now.
Okay,
and maybe you can look at it while I discuss it.
Yeah.
So the actor comes
James,
on.
Not James Kent.
No.
Cromwell.
Cromwell.
Thank you.
James Cromwell.
So what I didn't realize.
How about that for the 63-year-old,
you know,
soon to be 64?
You're a better man than I am. I should have had.
Well, you went to school.
Well, you did go to school with him.
That is hilarious.
That's great. That's just fantastic.
So.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate that. First one of the week.
So Cromwell's on there, and I please take this as a compliment, Mike. Cromwell's demeanor on that podcast is the same as his character on the show. And he discussed how he developed that character with the producers of the show. And he played, was it Ewan Roy, right?
Okay.
And how he said that when the character was first brought to him, he felt like they had a backstory that character was a Vietnam vet and had come back, and he convinced the producers to take the Vietnam vet out of his background of the character.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because I like that too, because it doesn't fit.
He felt like a vet would not come back, and he would, a vet who's put his life on the line, lost friends and family in for his country, would not be mixed up in such petty wars, like because he would know that there's more to life than just these
Makes
things.
Sense. That's valid, I think.
So he convinced the producers to not include that in his background.
That is so selfless in a way, because if he's a Vietnam vet, that gives him a more of a hero stature.
Yeah.
And a juicier character to bite into, likely. Yeah.
9 out of 10 Hollywood people are going to go, oh, I'll be the vet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be the vet. Yeah. I want to be the vet. I'd do it. I'd be like, I want to be the vet. How many people I kill?
So he explains that. So that was the first part of coming into the character. And his energy is the same demeanor of as it was on screen. Very hostile and over the top and full of energy, but also.
So is he kind of curmudgeon-y?
He's so curmudgeon-y in real life that I was like, Shannon said, is this guy doing a bit or is that really him? And we found another interview on YouTube because I wanted him to just be doing a bit. No, he's that curmudgeon-y in other places, just talking.
And he's a brilliant actor.
Really,
he's great. Yeah.
What we didn't know, and you should know, just to give you a different perspective on how talented these actors are, is that this gentleman, James Cromwell, has been dealing with long COVID side effects, which have affected his memory. So for the funeral scene, he had the hardest time memorizing that eulogy, even though he had it rewritten on the paper when he walked up to give the eulogy.
Mm-hmm.
He was only able to do that eulogy twice, full and clean, before he had to look down at his papers, because the way that they shot it was they got the first two takes of just him.
Right.
And then they had to get the color and the background for the rest of the cast.
The coverage. Yeah.
The coverage. Thank you. So the coverage had to be taken, and he said that he had to continue giving that speech multiple times, but that entire time leading up to the first two takes, he was desperately afraid of messing that up because he had been dealing with long COVID and his memory was failing him.
Wow.
Isn't that surreal?
That is surreal. That is surreal. A show like that, that's such a behemoth, and we all look at that and everybody'd like to be, I would just someday love to be around something like that, mm-hmm. just to watch it, see how it's done.
One more anecdote. We talked about the funeral, and this is for the penultimate episode.
Right.
Is they brought on the owner of, I guess, the funeral or the house that does all the funerals. What are those called?
Like a mortuary or a funeral home?
Yeah, the funeral home that was used, like they used all the set pieces from this funeral home, including the hearse and everything else. And they brought that guy on and he said, how much does a funeral for Logan Roy cost? What are we talking about? Wow. So they start breaking down. They're like, 6 figures easy. And what I thought you all would be, I guess, fascinated by is that they have a tiered up service for these like very prestigious
VIP
VIP funerals, mm-hmm. that they have a backup hearse.
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 Hearse. Hearse.
Yeah, no G.
Not Hearst.
No.
Hearse.
William Randolph Hearse.
Thank you. The Hearse family.
That's right.
They have a backup hearse that they add on for just a nominal fee, just in case.
A breakdown?
A breakdown happens with the first hearse. That's the same hearse. Everything's the same, just so there's no bumps in the road. They said they've never had to use it, but their VIPs usually like to...
In case, like, a tire bursts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Serpentine belt, gone.
But there's
a tire burst.
There's an upcharge for the backup hearse. And usually people pay it.
Amazing.
And if they don't need it for the casket, you can put six family members in it.
Are there seats back there?
No.
Oh.
No.
I'm an
no.
Idiot.
It's just, you know.
The seats fold out.
It also folds up. It also brings home the just insane hypocrisy of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, there he is, just
merchant,
six women in the front row or something.
Yeah.
That he's bedded.
Yes.
You know, willy nilly, while the priests are lined up a mile deep. It's just like the same thing I felt when I was watching the coronation. With all the guys in their dresses and robes lined up with Jesus and God and God. And meanwhile, he's up there with his adulterous queen consort. Nothing changes, right?
No,
it doesn't.
No.
There's no purity in the world.
That
there
same,
isn't.
And then there's the merchants of death that want you to get a second car.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. It's just a weird world.
And the way they sell it is like, you know, that specific like venue, as he called it, but that's where Jackie Kennedy's that's where her
funeral?
Her funeral was
did
at,
they like, mention New what York? The house of
yeah
worship
they mentioned
was?
It I can't remember
I can't believe
was.
They were allowed to shoot it's in an actual church.
Park Avenue, like,
yeah, so, just, and my parents were married in Manhattan at not at I want to say, if somebody can look up St. Joseph's Cathedral, mm-hmm. I think that's what it was, not St. Patrick's, not the biggie,
yeah,
but I think it was St. Joseph's Cathedral. They were married. It's right around East 71st Street, that area or something like. Maybe that's my aunt's head.
My parents were married in Virginia at a church called Saint Urgency.
Saint Shotgun of the Urgency.
I'm sorry. That's so funny.
And Big Daddy, you know, just heard click.
That's right. Click. Yeah.
Was Big Daddy your father's?
No, my mom's dad.
Your mom's dad. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Big Daddy with the shotgun.
I'm sure. Click.
Yeah. In Manhattan? Because I have a St. Joseph's in Brooklyn.
Nope. Okay. I don't know where
and
it was.
And that's a cathedral.
Yeah, there are a few Catholic churches in New York City.
Just a handful.
But
just the level of detail. Yep. And I think, Mike,
I did like the band, the orchestra, the singers at the funeral. That was great.
I felt satiated.
I did too.
Like, I didn't feel like they burned us.
It wasn't but it was a conclusion.
Yeah.
And it was a great conclusion. Yeah. And it was just like, hey, look at this. Look at the butt boy that made it through, that slid all. And the butt boy who shows mercy in his role as the new king to Gregory shows total mercy.
But there will be a pay cut.
When the tech billionaire says that he wants to sleep with his wife and he thinks that his wife wants to sleep with him.
Yes.
And the way that he ate that ass sandwich.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Was just
unflappable.
Unflappable.
Which to me, and here, let me hear me out here.
Okay.
This gets me excited. To me, that is as real as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is as real as corporate America gets. Right there. A moment that in any bar, watering hole, private party across the United States, there would be warfare if something like that went down. But when you are dealing with a guy singing for his supper, as he calls it, and he is confronted by that dick telling him
Matson.
In the rudest of terms, that he wants to bang his wife, and he doesn't even blink.
No. He says, yes, let's get shots.
I guarantee you that's how it goes down.
Yeah. Of course it does.
But horrible.
Also,
it's a horrible deal. It really is. It's a weird world.
Have you, not, and I thought, and I couldn't, you know, connect with my wife about this because I was waiting for her to ruin the moment because she likes to get up and like blow dry her hair in the middle of the most important parts of movies and TV shows.
Oh, stop picking on poor Shannon.
Yeah, well, she did that with Barry and we missed the whole ending.
Good ending on Barry.
So we sat there and I was like, if I just had somebody else in radio I could call right now. It's too late. It was late for you guys.
Right.
Like every radio weasel we knew reminded me of those moments of like,
Tom.
Oh my God.
I've worked for Tom's. You've worked for Tom's. We've all worked for Tom's.
Right?
Absolutely worked for Tom's. Mm-hmm. On low levels.
Yes.
Yeah. Not in the high content. Low levels. Where the skill of the networking and the skill of the schmoozing and the skill, once again, not only am I not cool, not good at that either. Bad combination. Because if you have the cool, you don't have to deal with it. You could probably be like, hey, I was thinking, boss, I'd like to get a haircut in the studio. Sure, Donnie, go ahead. No problem at all. You get to do whatever you want. Wherever you are. It does. You have that aura.
I meant that more like aura. The manager side.
Managers are like that.
Like the manager side of.
I play golf with some of these guys now. I'm talking to this one guy.
Mm-hmm.
Got a chance to play with him after hearing a lot about him.
Yeah.
One of his best buddies says to me, well, he's a dick. And it was hysteria. I said, I travel with him, but he's a dick. And then I finally get a chance, and he is. And I looked at the guy, and one of the things that my friend said, I just guarantee you he was one of those guys that flew into town as the Grim Reaper on a corporate level. And when he'd come into town, you would know that the axe was going to fall. And those guys. We had a guy that we worked with, Randy Bongarten.
I remember the name.
And Randy was, I think he was a liquidator. He would come in and he would look at your face and said, yes, I realize that we're selling to a Christian broadcasting chain, but they want to keep you.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Absolutely. It's just these guys are, it's funny. You hear about, we always talk about show business and how cutthroat and rejection Hollywood must be with just cruel. Well, you've got. At the highest levels of corporate America and high finance, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's got to be the worst. And then you mix broadcasting with it.
Yeah.
Holy magoli, what these companies, they're going through it right now at CNN.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Right now at CNN with, what's his name? Herr Licht? Is that the guy's name that's running the show? Christopher Licht. And Christopher Licht, who's pulling all the wrong strings. And it's just, you can tell that this guy, the level of ego that is existing with all of his mistakes that he's making right now, and combine that with the power and the money. It's, and I know that I'm supposed to be talking about the Murdoch family. That was the goal of Succession.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm kind of looking over at Succession and CNN and what the screw-ups are going on over at that network. A network that I have not lingered with since the Trump town hall meeting. Because I kind of think they're making a few
Whether
little,
or not the Murdoch
mistakes.
Family inspired Secession, a lot of the
they
stuff
did.
We're seeing...
No, they've well, already
they
totally talked about
it. No, I know. Yeah. I'm saying that. But, I mean, regardless of that, there are so many things that you can see spilling over into other industries and other families and other things.
What did Mattson say that he said he doesn't need an idea person. He's got his own ideas.
He needs a front man.
But he also said he needed like a blood sponge. Something like he said.
Man that can take an amazing amount of pain.
Yes.
Yes.
That he was
going
to cut.
And Tom's sitting there going, I've had it all, brother.
Yeah, bring it.
I've been a pain. Not only have I endured the pain of the main man in the corporation, I've endured the main lady.
Yeah.
The lady that I married that's put me through this, too. And then at the end, unfortunately, a lot of guys like that, at least it's my opinion, a lot of guys like that, when they endure that pain and they show that they can, you know, fuse themselves, that they can be the little remora. Is it a remora fish to the anus of corporate America? And they come out on the other side, and there you are.
Mm-hmm.
And there you are. And it's not a fun way to be, but man, at the end of the day,
ensures your 401k.
Yeah, it pays the light bill. That's it. It gets the bills paid. That's Jesus all it is. Christ. Oh, my God. But great television.
Wonderful.
And go back and watch all the seasons if you can, because it's really worthwhile. And you can experience for the first time if you don't do that.
I might start from the beginning again. I think it's worthy of a rewatch.
I'm sorry if we're taking
We're fine.
Great. How much time we have on break time? But the other lens I look at this through is how Succession has changed the way that we view wealth in this country. And this is from the style side, and maybe this matters to our audience or not, but this was very interesting to me that the show gave us a glimpse into what it's like to be really wealthy, that what it's like to be really wealthy is not like pure labels and like bright bags with designers on it. It's subdued wealth at a level that if you know, you know. If you don't know, you think they're just wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah, well, it's power, too. It's
power wild.
That is more intoxicating than the wealth. The wealth is kind of, they've been wealthy their whole lives, mm-hmm. and they are at a level of success. And I don't want to say success, because the kids aren't. The kid's father was.
Yes.
Right.
They are at such a level of money where they don't even think in terms of other people.
Yes.
So they don't think of the toys.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why when you think about, I'll give you a great example of Ted Kennedy. When you think, well, why wouldn't he just go off on a private island somewhere? Because that's not how he measured his life. He measured his life with maintaining the power he has and doing what he does. That's the satisfaction factor. And most of us don't exist in that world. Most of us are just trying to slay the dragon and be there. And at the end of the day, when you're blowing spit bubbles, I don't think any of it really matters at all. It can't.
How can it
when you're lying in a hospital bed and you're breathing your last? How can it really matter what you've accumulated if there's no one, you know, standing at the foot of your bed with tears in their eyes? Then it's just, it doesn't really matter.
I'm curious on your two, both of your opinion on this, because Mike brought up power versus money and that sometimes money is just a nice side result of having the power. Of the kids, don't you think Roman was more about the money than the power?
Roman was about...
'Cause he loved the lifestyle, and he was also real quick to say, you know, I'd like it, but, you know, whatever.
No, I think that they all were in that
same... Yeah, they all wanted it.
So much wealth.
They just didn't want to work for it.
You get a guy like Tom. Tom's much more grounded in...
Tom knew who he was. It's the bottom line that Tom gives a rat's ass about the bottom line. Yeah, he's like, I like wearing... Nice things. I like having a nice line. They get it.
Greg wants.
They're honest about
that.
Who they are. They're like,
I will miss Greg.
Oh yes. And Greg was like a lot of people in broadcasting.
Wasn't he? When they found out that Shiv's name was removed from the draft.
Yes.
And they had a shared document to see that to essentially confirmed that was the case.
It
reminded me of all the times, you know, we would find out that a station was flipping because people were so dumb.
Oh, yes. It was. But the thing is, it always happens.
Always.
So they do it in broadcasting at our little low level. It's happened to me now twice. Once with our boy right here that gave me a heads up on the final nail.
I was Gregory. Although, I was like, do you want to build a quad?
No, you were going to be a victim too. So coming from you, there was total.
Do you want to build a quad?
When somebody says, when somebody says, by the way, you and I are both going to the guillotine, and that adds credibility to the guillotine.
Yeah, it truly does.
But when someone's not going to the guillotine and they let you know, that to me is a real solid. So yeah. I'd like to say thanks, Jack. I appreciate that because that was a cool move. And glad he's still in broadcast. We got to take a break.
Yes.
When we come back, we got the homepage and lots more fun and thrills and hockey and my weight loss drug a little later in the program.
Curious, no?
Side effects may vary. Hold on, let me play that thing. Side effects may vary. Thank you very much. We'll take a break. We'll come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, Avray, Bobby, what was your favorite childhood memory caught on film or videotape? Do you have an easy way to watch it or share it with friends and family or post it? Probably not. Lucky for you, we found a solution, Legacy Box. Just send in your legacy box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures. Their team professionally digitizes everything by hand right here in the Old Glory USA.
Love it.
You'll get it back on a thumb drive or the cloud.
McCloud.
Along with your originals. It's so simple, it's like magic. Order now at legacybox.com. We have all used it. It's really great. I get to see the Bermuda pictures of my parents that flew a wooden plane over to Bermuda.
Solid spruce, wasn't it?
It was Eddie Rickenbacker flew them to Bermuda and said, let's go to Bermuda and smoke. It's amazing to bring your past into the present. It really is, and preserve it for the future. I said, and then, you know, I can have, show it to my son. And he's like, why are Papa's teeth black? Because he smoked. You can't put a price on memories, people. You can't.
Funny.
For a limited time, get started future-proofing your past and take advantage of an exclusive discount just for our listeners. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS and revisit and share special memories from your past. That's legacybox.com/TMOS. And we want to say thank you, Legacy Box.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage. We start with Scottie Pippen. Weird story, but it made it to the top of the news for me today because I found it strange.
Okay.
I found it odd. He had some issues with Michael Jordan. And I think he's being a little ridiculous here, but you be the judge. In a recent interview, he literally called Jordan a horrible player.
Huh.
Sure.
Mm.
And he wasn't talking about baseball. Scottie was asked to name the true GOAT of the NBA. And he said that from a statistical perspective, it's LeBron James. Then he added, quote, I don't believe that there's a great player because our game is a team game. And one player can't do it. Well, there have been great players in every team game in the world.
Right.
Dude.
He said, I seen Michael Jordan play before I came to play with the Bulls. You guys seen him play. He's a horrible player. Wow. Mm. What did he do to Scottie Pippen?
Wow.
He was horrible to play with. He was all one-on-one. He's shooting bad shots. And all of a sudden, we become a team and we start winning. Everybody forgot who he was. That's just weird. You won championships. You had Michael Jordan,
yeah.
What is the problem, Scotty?
You know what I looked at last night was the movie Air.
Great movie.
Very good.
I really enjoyed
it.
But it's I really enjoyed it. Maybe my favorite part was Matt Damon playing fat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll have to. Oh, that's the one where they're the agents. Oh, they're the.
No, Nike.
It's the Nike people.
It's
right?
Securing Jordan for Nike. Yeah. It's a good movie.
I don't know if you know this, Mike, but Marcus Jordan, which is Michael Jordan's son, has been tied to dating Larsa Pippen, who is Scottie's ex-wife. Just some background.
So his son is dating Scottie's ex-wife?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, there's some bitterness, right?
But they could breed one hell of a basketball player.
That's incredible. Fine. Okay. Here's Spiewak.
Stop
yes,
it.
What a wonderful concept that is, Rob, if you're studying genetics.
Just a thought.
This is a scary story. Benedict Cumberbatch and his family were terrorized by a knife-wielding former hotel chef recently. 35-year-old Jack Bissell kicked his way through the front gate of Benedict's home in North London, shouting, quote, I know you've moved here. I hope it burns down. He also destroyed a plant, spit on the intercom at the front door. Then he ripped it off the wall. Benedict, his wife, and their three kids were inside the house at the time. Bissell fled before the cops showed up, but they got his DNA off the intercom, and then they arrested him. It's not clear when this happened, but Bissell was already convicted and just got slapped with a fine and 3-year restraining order from Cumberbatch and the Cumberbatch family. There's no word why he singled out Dr. Strange. We don't know what the deal was.
Hates his name.
That. Weird.
He doesn't very like the strange name Benedict Cumberbatch.
scary. A guy who used to manage. Now, this is just a guy.
Just a guy?
I have to share it. It's everywhere. This dude used to manage a Hollywood strip joint. It was called Crazy Girls.
I remember hearing about Crazy Girls.
He said that, yeah, right.
I was too young. It wasn't open.
They're all in straight jackets.
No, they're not in straight jackets, Matt.
Shut up, Tony.
That's funny. I'm
trying to do the news.
Shut up!
It's called Crazy Girls. He said Quentin showed up one night and asked for a VIP room and the girl with the biggest chest and the biggest backside. But instead of getting a lap dance, Quentin put her on the chair, took off her boots, then started licking the bottoms of her feet and sucking her toes.
Oh.
After 30 minutes, the guy, that's what he's identified as.
Yeah, the guy.
Says her feet look like prunes, and Quentin gave her 10 grand for her trouble. He didn't say when this happened.
It's $1,000 per toe.
Could the
you know, if you're a big enough celebrity, if you're a big enough guy, you can have a story that literally goes wide, viral, and there's no corroboration.
Yeah.
You just have it out it's interesting.
In this PC world, could a name like Crazy Girl still stand? Is it more like mentally unstable women?
I don't know, Oscar.
Challenged females.
I don't know. That's weird. We'll have to wait and see if there's anybody that steps forward. Like maybe the girl with the big chest and the big ass.
Well, she has to wait for her foot to unprune.
A New Zealand-based pizza chain is doing a new spin on buy now, pay later. Buy now, pay much later when you die.
Oh.
The place is called Hell Pizza, and the promotion is called Afterlife Pay. That's a play on Afterpay. It's not open to everyone. You need to be local. They're accepting 666 applicants. Get it? 666.
I don't understand.
If you do it, you're promising that you will write whatever you owe into your will.
Mm.
It isn't 100% serious. Well, if it's not serious, why are you doing it then?
Yeah.
No, they're doing a promotion. Hell Pizza admits it's lighthearted stunt, but they are accepting applications, and they are giving out delayed payment pizzas to 666 winners in both countries. Each person will get one pizza through Afterlife Pay, which is valued at $25. Hell Pizza claims the agreement you sign to pay after death is legally binding. No interest fees will apply.
Well, pizza!
Yes. The internet is telling us that instead of Crazy Girls, we should call it Absurd Girls.
Thank you. Let's do
that. I'm not sure I would go to that club, that gentleman's resort.
Absurd
Oscar, do you ever trace your lineage or your ancestry back
I do have to it.
Any tribal entities
We have a,
of
we
South
have,
America?
Yeah, Quechua.
Okay. Are they closer to the Mayans or the Aztecs? Or
the Incans.
The Incas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ah.
Yeah. The Mayans may not have predicted the apocalypse, but I'm pretty sure if I saw this in my house, I'd think the end of times was near. Apparently, the modern Maya society in Mexico, where that exists, kids voluntarily do chores. According to a reporter who specializes in parenting, the key is bringing kids in on chores at an early age. Always doing chores with the kids helping or watching, empowering them to join in, and playing the kids' desire to keep playing off the kids' desire deep down to be helpful. So how can you do it with your kids who maybe don't quite sound like mm-hmm. that?
Yeah.
Here are two tips. Don't do chores while the kids play. Do you let your kids watch TV so you can be more efficient doing laundry or cleaning? I do. Don't. Make the chores a team effort, even if it slows you down. Think of a family as bonding during this time. So instead of getting them out of the way and letting them do what they like, screen time.
Right.
Bring them in, even if it's a pain in the ass, you know.
We had a list. Did you guys have a list when your parents would leave the house? Like, I would get a list. This is what Oscar has to do. This is what Tatiana has to do.
Mayan. Yeah. Very Mayan.
Right? And this is what Jose has to do.
Was it written in ancient script?
No, it was written in a pan flute.
Okay.
That when
we written when, in a pan flute.
Pan flute dipped in like blood of animals.
Goat.
In the forest.
Blood of goat.
Tribute animal.
I'm almost going to say one that wasn't political.
But can I, and a yak. Yak's blood. But I wanted, but let me tell you that I would look at that list. I remember as a kid, and it was nothing trivial. It was vacuum the whole house or pledge all the wood in the house or do something crazy that I thought was a lot of work, but it wasn't. And there were days where I would look at that list and say, today is going to be an ass whooping, but I'm going to have fun watching TV.
Oh, so you would vary it?
Yeah,
I would weigh it against each other.
Like, I would weigh, be like, I'll do the pledge tomorrow, but today I'll be beat.
Today will be Pedro Moreno.
Wow.
I would weigh it. That's all you would do.
Well, the second thing the Mayan modern Mayan families do, let your kid help, even if they aren't helpful.
Oh, my brother does this all the time with his son.
You get the dishes done faster without help from your
kid. Yes, yeah.
But the Mayans always encourage their kids to help, find something the kid can do, and never force them to join in. So it's kind of a fun thing.
Yeah. It takes forever to wash the car, but he's there and he's learning about washing the car.
Yeah, meanwhile, Robert is playing Django with dishes in the sink.
crash. Could be worse. Could be Carla. God, that's loud. Police in, I think it's called Gifu City, have arrested an 85-year-old man on suspicion of shoplifting 2 packs of condoms from a convenience store. According to police, the incident occurred around 11 a.m. Sunday. Police said Ko Sasaki, of no fixed address and who claims to be self-employed, took 2 packs of condoms worth about 2,000 yen and tried to leave the store without paying for them. The store manager, a woman in her 50s, saw Sasaki pocket the condoms and detained him at the entrance to the store while another employee called police. I guess there's a reason they call it the land of the rising sun. Am I right, ladies?
Yeah, ladies.
There you go. Yeah, way to go. Coho or whatever your name is. Mr. Sasaki.
He's just a guy.
If you steal condoms, this should give you a pass.
Yeah, well, especially at 85. Attaboy. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun right here. Hey, everybody. This portion of our program brought to you by Discover Fabric. The ultimate solution for your financial planning. Fabric by Gerber Life. They're quick and easy life insurance policies. You can get them in just 10 minutes. You can customize a quote. You can secure coverage of up to $1 million for less than a dollar a day. Plus, enjoy the peace of mind that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and the flexibility to cancel anytime. Don't leave your family's future to chance. Take action and get Fabric by Gerber Life today. Fabric was designed by parents. It was designed for parents to help you get a high-quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy and do it in less than 10 minutos. You can be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required. Protect your family today with Fabric by Gerber Life. Apply today in just 10 minutes at meetfabric.com/TMOS. That's meetfabric.com/TMOS, meetfabric.com/TMOS. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. Welcome back to the show. All right, I want to talk to you a little bit because I've talked about the medications that people are using, getting wider and wider all the
Mounjaro.
Time.
Mounjaro.
Wegovy, Ozempic, and all of these products that are, you know, helping. They've helped me, and they're helping other people. I was with a friend of mine today who's lost 17 pounds, and he's, I think, taking Wegovy. So the stuff works, and, you know, it's still the wild frontier, and that's why – you know, the dickish insurance companies are.
Are you still with dickish insurance?
Dickish insurance.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Blue balls. Blue balls, blue shield.
Isn't it? Let's be accountable here, though, Mike. And I had the same conversation with my mom.
Yes.
Is that a sentence that would be indicative of a potential defense of the insurance agency?
My mom pulled up a picture of one of her sisters. And she said, look, she's gotten fat. And I said, Mom, you were fat 3 months ago. And you got on this magic medicine and don't stand on, you know, like you're no like jazzercise queen. You didn't exercise. You just injected yourself with this stuff.
And it's not magic, though. She injected herself with stuff and she is, you can't inject yourself with stuff and then eat a quarter pounder with cheese.
Correct.
You have to inject yourself with stuff, and I still count and record everything that goes into my cake hole every
Mike,
day.
It's,
if you diminish my Mounjaro accomplishment,
you have done nothing except for pay for, a performance enhancing drug, a PED.
Yeah,
that's not true though.
You're still having to stick to a plan.
Yeah, but Rob, when I tell you, if you get on this, you'll be skinny mini. because my mom, who has the willpower of a chicken, which is 0.0.
You know that old phrase, Mike. You have the willpower of a chicken.
A chicken will eat anything. You feed it.
Yeah, but you have to realize also that there are going to be times when that is not there. And that's when the rubber meets the road.
How about this? When you get off the drug and you stay skinny, then I'll give you all the credit in the world. But being on the drug allows
you. You're such a dick.
I'm not being a dick.
That is so nasty.
This is the same conversation I had with my mom.
You're having the conversation with your mother.
Yes.
This is not. So what? I was also a guy that would be, you know, eating 2,200 calories a day and still gaining weight. It sucked.
I get that.
And can I just say this? Because I speak for people with weight problems, Oscar. The motivation, all right? The motivation is not always that you're going to lose the weight. The motivation is that you're doing something that is working. And unfortunately, when you're trying certain things and then you get sidetracked a couple of times, then you get sidetracked again, and then you let me explain it this way. The idea of going into the bathroom scale.
Yes.
On a day you thought you were going to kill it, and you are up a pound and a half or 2 pounds.
It's demoralizing.
And
it's horrible.
It's friggin' not, I don't want to use the word devastating because that's reserved for worse things.
Yeah.
But it just kicks you in the balls. And if that happens a couple of times, you know what happens to the old battle of wills? It sucks. And it's
straight
hard.
To Cracker Barrel.
It's a tendency to slide off the wagon.
Sure.
You know? So with the advent of this, there's not a lot of food I enjoy, and it helps me not enjoy it. And if that's what it does, I'm happy.
It's a miracle drug.
But if it would be more to what you're describing, you incredibly insensitive hump. If you could go out and have, even if you were maintaining calories, but you could eat some crap, and it would still magically, then it would be magic. It's not. I maintain calories and had a particular item last week that my weight was up. And because I watch it so closely, I knew it was up because of sodium content.
Okay.
And it was steamed shrimp that I put some Old Bay on, and I knew that salt content was what did me in. And then the next day I was able to bounce back.
Yes.
It makes it an easier, but I log my food. I log my weight every single day. I log everything every single day that goes into my body. That's something that I probably wouldn't have done without the medication because I know that that in combination with the medicine is working. And Yoli's the same way. She ultimately could be F it, and then you take an injection
she
and
tries.
You eat a donut, and then you're
she tries.
Yourself.
Yeah, she's nauseous more times than not because she will eat a flan. And I said, Mom, like this weekend we went over and we had a whole barbecue with her, and she goes, I'm not eating. And I said, what'd you eat this morning? She said, well, I had bought myself a flan. And I started eating it, and I got nauseous. I said, that's why the medicine's here, Mom.
Well,
if she buys flan. I thought she made flan.
Well, this time she bought it from a Latin market, and she tried to eat it herself and like secretly eat it. And the medicine kicked in and said, no, not today.
You know, I'm going to tell my family up in Maine if they ask what I've been doing. But this is why. He is why, Rob.
Yes.
He is why I don't want to. And maybe I'll just f***ing lie.
Yeah.
Through my effing teeth.
Might be a good
plan. I've been in the gym 7 days because if I tell them this is just like, it's diminished and it's like,
yeah, you'll get zero credit.
Yeah.
But I don't care.
You could also, you have to lie to them.
Yeah.
Because the logic otherwise is like,
Stephanie Larson and I met in New Orleans, hugged each other and were commiserating on because she was the one who really gave me the nudge for this stuff. And I was so happy. But So do you think that that's what's going to be out there? People like you who have never really battled it as much as people like me
correct.
That are going to be judge McJudge again.
Yeah.
You people suck ass, in my humble opinion.
We probably, can't wait till you get a Mounjaro commercial.
We probably do. But I'm a believer. I know this. Like I've said, if I had the disposable income, I would have invested in this in Eli and Lilly.
It's now it's money.
And of course.
Now Captain Goldbricks goes down to the money store and out a couple of thou and
the
there we go.
Stock is beyond my reach.
Let
it's
me
too
just
expensive.
Say this. Don't you have any respect for people that take the plunge to do something about it?
Yeah,
and take
Mike,
what is not necessarily an experimental drug, but it's certainly not. You know, the jury's out.
If it was
I might
2 years,
come in one day,
no.
I might come in and go, Rocky Road, and you'll say.
If it was two years ago, yes. This thing's been, people have been using this in this capacity for almost, we're going on to the third year. By the end of the year, the FDA should approve it for weight loss.
There's no way I would be.
You're no hero, Mike O'Mara, is what I'm
trying
not
to saying
say.
I'm a hero. Yes. I don't consider myself a hero.
And you're not
I
taking also, a grave risk.
I do. I think you're
you,
a
Rob.
Hero. To
no,
many.
It's just, but this is.
Tell your family.
This is what's wrong. What do you want me to do?
Just stop.
Would you be happier? Would you be happier if I was 320 and wandering around and being like, you know, then you're diminishing it. You're,
I'm not
you're a monster.
Diminishing.
You're a monster.
Don't come in here and say you ran.
You're a monster.
You ran a 4 minute mile when you were on a scooter. Like,
he didn't say anything like that.
I've said nothing of the kind. Has Yoli?
Yeah, she's tried.
What has she tried to do?
I've diminished her at every turn when she
Why
said.
Why do you diminish your dear sweet mama?
Because she's
and
calling
your beloved coworker.
She's calling her sister. Like she's basically like, look at so and so. She gained weight.
Oh.
I said, Mom, okay. you were triple this.
All right.
Like
three weeks ago.
I can speak. Let's
to
work
that.
On that.
All right.
I can speak to that. You're right.
Yeah.
But when you lose, no matter how you get there,
is a win.
You
a win.
Still, being the scummy species we are,
yes.
Judge those who are heavier.
Of course,
I know I'm going to do it on the plane, where there's going to be a 2 tons of fun getting on the plane, and I'm going to go. Hope I'm not in that row.
Yeah, get the seat extender. Get the seat extender.
I know I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
So it's true.
Let me ask
you. Yeah,
you're 60 pounds lighter than you were
not
at your
yet.
Heaviest. 50.
It's 57.
Okay. Is it the
nice.
Is this the lightest you've been in the last decade?
Yes.
Okay. Do you see people responding to you in a different manner at this point of your weight loss journey?
I wish this was a bonus show because I've got a great joke right now that I would just love to say. I wish we could cuss. I got two coming into work today.
Never mind.
I'm sorry. We
only Mike, only two?
Today.
Yeah, okay.
I was wearing my purple sport coat.
Well, those are some lucky guys, I tell you what.
All you right, too?
You got one too?
All right. We got they're fake buttons out there.
Yes.
Beware.
Yes.
We have to talk about them when we come back on the Michael Merry Show.
My God.
You too?
This is a stupid joke.
Hey, you. Discover the ultimate destination for looking and feeling your absolute best. Dermglow, massive sale featuring 23 incredible items. Now is the time to indulge. Dermglow ships worldwide and offers Afterpay for your convenience. From e-gift cards to luxurious body and skincare products, virtual skin consultations, and indulgent pampering facials. From the pampering esthetician, my wife,
yes.
Carla O'Mara. Oh, I sound like the guy on the Coventry ad on Sirius Radio. We're celebrating life.
I don't know that guy.
God, I hate that guy. Dermglow has something for everyone. It's never too early to plan for Father's Day. So I'll read the rest of the spot like him.
Okay.
So show your dad some love.
Oh.
With discounted prices on Mike's big package or Mike's little package. All right. I don't want to say that. Don't miss out on these amazing deals. Well, it's time to update.
I didn't think we'd
still be running them. Visit DermGlowSkin.com today. And no, you don't have to update it. Yeah, work on the other commercial. And shop for incredible offers that will brighten anyone's day, including yours. DermGlow, your path to radiant beauty. Visit DermGlowSkin.com today and tell them Oscar sent you, and coming soon, the very first DermGlow Skin facial boutique.
Love it. Congrats.
I wonder if they're going to have buttons on the wall, Oscar.
This is great.
That's Mike, that was terrific.
America.
Really great. Broadcasters, take note of what just happened.
Okay. This is the best example possible.
Yes?
Yeah.
And I read this article and I took a deeper dive and I realized it's effing true. There are aspects of our life that are complete, like, ruses. They are fake. They're meant to placate us. There's things we do on a daily basis that we don't realize mean nothing in the equation of effect, cause and effect. We just have to push it just to let them know.
You mean like Mounjaro injections?
No, those actually work.
Okay.
Look at the man. Look how much skinnier he looks.
Yeah, but it's like it could be like Dumbo's magic feather.
No.
Yeah, but it's not that big a deal, okay? It's not like I'm a hero for losing weight. I'm a drug addict.
Mike, the way that you looked on stage is the skinniest and most debonair I've ever seen you.
Well,
it was like seeing Lenny Bruce.
Like, there are pictures of him? No, there are pictures
of
Mike.
I look like Emo Phillips.
Mike,
I'm still fat.
No, when you... this is going to be really mean, but
don't,
I think you
then
deserve to hear it. I still have the video from the original House of Blues show because we paid a video team.
A videographer.
It never saw the light of day because you decided to wear white and you look like the State Puff Marshmallow Man up there.
I hear you laughing, Pony. Stop it.
Thank you. That was actually Mac.
Shut up, Mac.
And now, with your gray suit, you look like you owned a bank up there.
Yep.
It was beautiful. You've had a journey. Now, have you had help with that journey? 100%. Don't be ashamed of that. But I'm telling you, it's a big difference. Okay, moving
on. Mike is very, very, very attractive.
That was the highest compliment I could give you, Mike. You've made strides.
Thank you.
Okay.
Congratulations on your strides, Mike.
Back to the button.
What? Back to the buttons.
Sometimes I feel like I'm listening to this podcast and I've missed a segment.
By the way, put one of these in the shorts today. That whole discussion about Mounjaro has to be. And Mounjaro has to. Okay.
We'll
go
make
ahead,
it the social. Thank you.
The
buttons you push at a crosswalk that say, stop, don't walk, stop,
yeah,
wait. When you push those buttons, those don't actually activate in most major cities any time code or prompt any of the actual lights to change.
Because they're cycled without?
No.
It's just to make you feel good?
They're just there to make you feel like you've activated something. So your patience level and your probability of walking across diminishes because it's telling you
that you've so heinous.
Created.
I hate that.
There's a great one at
Jimmy's Crosswalk. I love it. At Jimmy's Old Town Tavern, it actually says, wait,
yeah,
wait, wait, wait.
These are all just timed out prior to you arriving to that crosswalk.
So it's on its own cycle.
It's on its own cycle, and that button is just it's a placebo to make you feel like you're activating some sort of process of the light changing or the crosswalk changing in your favor.
Wow. That's terrible.
Second,
bastards.
Thermometers in offices. The estimate is that 70% of thermometers in office buildings.
Thermostats.
I'm an idiot. In not just individual offices, but common areas will change the actual digits up or down,
yeah,
but it's a placebo because you actually don't have full control of the environment because it's predetermined by the building.
So but the numbers will move.
The numbers will
like
move.
Like you're really going to turn
like
something.
Like you're doing something.
That's dark. That's bad.
And it will not change because think about
Christy, I turned the temperature down to 66 degrees and I'm still sweating in my ball area.
If you've ever had a house with more than one unit. Think about the expense for two zones or three zones or 12 zones.
Split your garage.
Correct.
You can see.
But pushing that button because it feels cooler or warmer, that'll give you a psychological placebo effect.
God, that I makes feel like that's like AI again. That's like being controlled. I don't like that. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
In an elevator, the door close button and the door open button. The door open button is a button that actually opens the door if it's closing. The door close button does nothing in the majority of elevators.
Oh, I'm a massive door closing button because I don't like other people on my elevator.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
If you've ever
I'll
felt
see
like
some people walking down the hall, and I'll be like,
yeah.
If you've ever felt like you're pushing that and nothing happens, it's because the timing sequence is the timing sequence. It's just there to make you feel like you have some sort of control.
Wow.
You know, when we did that little weekend getaway across the Alligator Alley on the other side, there's an elevator, and I did the old record duck thing that I used to do at the DJ conventions. We had about nine people on the elevator, and I'd had a toddy or two.
Yeah, sure.
Pool. And I got on the elevator, and everybody's facing forward. If you ever want to do this for fun, usually it works if you've had a few cocktails. You get on the elevator, everybody's facing the door, and you just say, okay, no talking.
Funny.
Great trick.
Funny.
Usually no response. Usually no response.
So
have you ever gotten onto a crowded elevator and faced the back?
I do elevator tricks all the time.
That's that people don't respond well to
that.
I
would be put off.
Yeah.
Those are the major placebo buttons in our like public life. But I would think about it next time you're out and about and you see these things and share this with a person that you know is continues to push.
Yeah.
And let them know that it's all fake.
The crosswalk one. No, the crosswalk one is the one that pisses me off the most. Mm-hmm.
So they're just training us. Those are the three major ones. Other ones are inconsequential, but those are the main ones that I took away. Where I was like, this is crazy.
You're aware that we got a new HVAC unit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Carla and I have a different perception of hot and cold. It used to be Carla would always be hot and I would always be cool. It's changed now.
It's because you're thin.
It's changed. I'm not thin.
No, because you've lost weight. It happened to me too.
Now, Carla. To turn it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'll say, yeah, go ahead. So she does it to the app. I turn it back up again. Don't tell anybody.
It's your own placebo effect.
It's my own placebo. Yes. Yeah, I control.
Well done. Well done.
I control the old man. Yes, sure. All right, well, I've got to take another drug, and then we'll take a break. And Yoli, I love you. I'm with you. Muy bueno. Buena suerte. Yo, hero.
Hero!
Again. We'll be right back. Hello.
Hi.
I'm Mike O'Mara. And I'm here to tell you about Chime. You know, you can kickstart your journey towards healthy financial habits with your very, very first paycheck. If you've just landed your first job, set yourself up for success by signing up for Chime. Hold on. I've got a Chime. Hold on just a second.
Yep.
Let me see if I do this. Wait, I got to stop that. All right, just a second. All right. With Chime, you'll unlock a range of benefits. Enjoy the convenience of getting paid up to 2 days early and the peace of mind that comes with fee-free overdraft protection up to $200. Plus, with Chime, say goodbye to monthly fees, minimum balance requirements, and deposit obligations. Join Chime today and take control of your financial future. So, sign up for a Chime checking account today to link your paycheck. It only takes 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at Chime.com/TMOS. That's Chime.com/TMOS. Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debt card provided by the Bancorp N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC, early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. Spot me, eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. See chime.com/spotme. Oh, and now we have to do the
yes, because it's time.
Please. Sorry about that.
Hello.
May I just add one thing?
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Because your family is a little bit like me, very matter of fact, I don't pretend to understand your sister and her psychology and the way that she views you, but
your sister Shiv?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Shiv
Roy
will pounce if she knows that you're on this drug.
Yeah, probably.
I think if they ask,
she'll pounce, but she won't pounce on me right away.
No.
She'll pounce on every single cousin and friend and everyone she talks to. That's what she correct. Will do.
She'll be an operator.
Right.
So, yeah.
So advice. Welcome.
I say you just go in because they've known you for too long. And they're well-read and they know what's going on in the world.
Sure. Yeah.
You just say, look, I got on Mounjaro and it's working for me. And that's all you say. That's all you say. Because if you say that you were tired of being fat or some big, like, you know,
announcement. No, I have a different way I'm going to play it.
What?
What are you going to do? Advice?
What?
We're going to play it a different way.
What?
Say, wow, you've lost the weight. What's your secret? I said, I'm very, very ill.
This could be my last trip.
Bingo.
To Maine.
Please be nice.
Be kind. You be kind?
Can you be
mean? I'm sorry, Rob.
Mike, what's the name of that state you live in?
Connecticut?
No. The one you live
Floridia.
In now.
Floridia?
Yeah, Floridia. I've got two good Florida stories for you. First of all, Jacksonville, Florida.
Mm.
Everyone was so excited to graduate from high school, and they took delivery of their caps and gowns, and they were beautiful. They were embroidered. Class of 2022.
First impression was, oh, they done messed up big time, right? You know, at first I was like, I don't really care. You know, we're graduating, but I had really thought about it. And I was like, this isn't right. You know, we're supposed to be the graduating class of 23. It's supposed to be our year.
As a parent, I am very upset, not only for myself, my child, but other parents, because they have worked very hard to be able to display their pride in their appropriate graduating gear.
I think they're missing the big point here is what a deal they got.
Now, my 77 was hanging off the
test. Yeah, we didn't have anything embroidered.
They didn't have it. So they have it, what, embroidered across
on the gown
or something?
On the gown.
Oh, on the gown. All
yeah.
Right.
Okay. So I think they got a deal on 22s and hope no one would notice.
I think they did, too. Absolutely.
They're all back to... Mike, speaking of that state, do you know where New Smyrna Beach is?
New Smyrna Beach?
Yeah.
It's near the beach.
Yeah. You might want to stay off of it because they've got this lady that was just there. I don't know if this is a trend, but you're not allowed to drive on the beach there because there's people. But she was driving on the beach at 50 miles an hour. She nearly hit a child, did not, and ended up with her car in the ocean. She claimed she was turning around.
Okay, what happened?
I'm not sure. I was the driver, and they kind of stopped us, and they said that we almost hit a child. I didn't think that we did. That's what they told us.
Yeah, well, the people are down here because you can't drive on this part of the beach.
We were just so trying to turn around. We didn't think that we could do a U-turn around here, so we were just trying to keep going.
She drove 50 miles an hour into the ocean.
I just wanted to turn around really, really, really fast.
They said it was going to hit a child, didn't it? Child.
Yeah, 50 miles an hour?
That's fast on a road. Much less a beach. Yes.
Really, if you're on the beach, man, you're just popping open a White Claw and then, oh my God!
Did you watch any of the Indianapolis 500?
I did not, but are you going to talk about the anthem?
Yeah, I am going to talk about the anthem. I tipped my hand.
Can we save this for tomorrow?
Of course. Of course.
And you'll have the whole version?
Yeah. And I've got an opinion on it, too.
All right. So. This is tomorrow's show because I want to play it. I'd like to play it in its entirety.
Got it.
And I'll tease what I'm going to say because I don't care if you know it. I'm not sure what the fuss is about. I don't fall into the super, super love, 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 but I like. And I'd like to know what everybody else, because there's an S storm, and maybe because it's Indiana.
Oh, it's your favorite state.
Indiatucky. And maybe that's why this is causing all the problems.
Do you think after this, do you think they'll have Jewel back?
Back? When are you coming back? I don't know. I just thought it was disrespectful. You know, what's next? Take a knee? No, they take knees.
They take knees.
Back.
Well, let's go to something from the Oscar Santana pick-to-click vault.
Oh, I love it.
This is a guy that has a prank that he's doing I guess it was on TikTok. I think it's a little vicious, but I also like it because he uses the phrase,
just nasty stuff,
the phrase body count. And so this is what he does.
If you know a guy with a suspiciously high body count, please let me prank call him, telling him that he has a son, calling as a private investigator and informing him that he has a child. And the best part is, my girlfriend's little brother is going to be helping out. So I can call and he'll say,
Daddy, is that you?
If you've got somebody good, let me know in the comments and hit follow because I'm doing it live.
Mike, a suspiciously high body count.
We should translate for the oldsters in the audience. Please. The high body count would be the guy has sex with a lot of women.
Partners. Yes.
multiple sexual partners.
Yes.
I'm like sitting there going, oh, this is super cruel. And it is super cruel.
It is horrible. You know,
I love the offer. That to me is fine. I don't need necessarily the nitty gritty. But do you think he's really going to go through with it?
I do. I do.
Yeah, I was refreshing his feed. I followed him. I said, let me see what happens.
He
has not posted what he's
tough
done
to do.
Yet. But I wanted to ask.
To do because he's out there for everybody to see. That
but not everybody's watching.
Yeah, they got to be. Yeah. And also they need a kid that doesn't sound 14.
I'm curious about the legalities of that. I know you can't crank call people.
Well, you can. You just
or prank call them.
You don't want to post the audio.
When you say that you're doing this as a prank, look, as somebody who pranked his entire listening audience by pretending that a 5-year-old kid was getting a tattoo, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
No, I would be terrified if that happened.
No foul. Mm-hmm.
Terrified.
All right. Check. Let us close with this. Mike, it's summertime and the living is easy. And mosquitoes are coming, especially if you have standing water.
Did you play your summer montage? Oh, you do that the 4th.
That's the 4th of July. Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Do you, my parents have told me about this. I don't know about it. Do you remember when you were a kid, the mosquito truck?
Yeah, where they would drive through the streets spraying.
Yeah. Yeah, and there would be no warning. My dad told me about this in the beach. They would just drive and spray pesticides.
Like residential neighborhoods. Clouds of pesticides.
We pay a mosquito man to come to our house.
Anyway, Wanda Sykes has a new Netflix special. I love Wanda Sykes. And this is her take on the mosquito man when she was a kid.
Yeah, and we lived back in the woods. So when the mosquito man came around, that was an exciting time for us. That was like the circus. The kids, man, we would drop whatever we was doing. Like, it's mosquito man. And we would run to the end of the road to greet the mosquito man just to get behind his truck to play in that fog of pesticide. And then when he was leaving the neighborhood, we would thank him. Thank you, mosquito man! Thank you! And then we walked back home with that pesticide just steaming off of us. Flies would land on us and then just die.
Mike, that's all I got for you today.
That's good. I like that. All right. We're going to take a powder. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow. And thank you for joining us. Don't forget to share this with everybody on whatever platform you are taking us in. We'd appreciate that.
And to all you patriots, we'll be playing the national anthem tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow we'll talk about that, the controversy, why, I don't know. And more fun and more thrills for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Thank you, Mosquito Man.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I'm beginning to see why your wife left you.
Back in a moment, my dear. We have to expel some urine.
Goodbye.